Stu, first of all, just go back to last weekend. How pleasing was that performance overall?
Oh, it was an outstanding performance. You know, people can look and say, well, you're 3-0 in 20 minutes, perhaps you should go in and do more damage. But I think we did in the first half. I think if it would have turned 5 or 6-1 to ourselves, that would have been not even probably half the chances that we created on the day. We hit the bar, the goalkeeper said 3 or 4 great saves. And then, like, I think the second half, I said to the players, the interval comes at the right time for Shrewsbury, not for us. But we don't need to gamble, we don't need to take chances, and we'd be professional. And yes, we could have added to the scoreline, but we seen the game out very, very comfortable. It's probably the easiest 45 minutes a manager could wish to have. Whenever at any time, I don't think I got off my seat other than to applaud some super passing moves.
This is a nice, calm half-time talk then, was it?
Well, it was just a bit, let's not do anything rash, let's not give them any encouragement, because I've been in the dressing room myself where I've been 3-0 down, and you have to convince your players, like, let's win the second half. And when you see that, really what you're hoping is you go out in the first 10 minutes of the second half and get a goal, and the team that's winning 3-0 suddenly get a little bit worried in case you get a second one, and the balance of the game could change. And we've all been there as managers, and you know, it's very sad that the manager, Graham Turner, has lost his job, but he's a very experienced manager of 35 years in the game, and I knew what Graham would be saying in that dressing room. It really would be a bit, just let's nick a goal in the first 10, 15 minutes of that second half, and let's see if Rotherham can cope with coming under a little bit of pressure. But yeah, to be fair, they never really created a chance to give us that worry, and we probably made enough chances to have doubled our scoreline in the second half. But you know, we cannot ever be disappointed when we go away from home in League One and win a game, never mind win it as convincingly as we did.
And also kept a clean sheet as well. That must be nice to get back to that.
It was. You know, I think they'd one chance in the first half, and Adam had a lot of fumble waiting, he's onto the post and comes out and he gets a lot of better luck. But I think apart from that, he's had nothing to do. So, and that's credit to the back four and to the midfield four and to the front two, because we defend from the front, as everyone knows. So that was a good, solid team performance, of which a 3-0 scoreline certainly didn't flatter us, but it's something we'd take every week of the season.
And keeps you in the playoff places. The playoffs are achievable. I mean, is that what you set out for at the start of the season?
No, I don't think we did it at the start of the season. I think what we aimed for at the start of the season was to embrace League One and never give our chairman one sleepless night that he could be going back the other way, because it's very reminiscent of the way we came up, which was in fantastic style. It was probably no with the margin that Chesterfield came up a few seasons ago, but they went straight back down, and you have to learn from situations like that, because that's a good football club with people like John Sheridan, who's now down at Plymouth, who was an outstanding manager at Chesterfield, and they quickly get relegated. So the first thoughts as the management team is, let's go up and embrace League One, let's go up and try and entertain people, but get enough points on the board that perhaps we can look up and not down. And I think we're certainly doing that now. We've moved the squad around since last summer, and you have to do it, because it really is always a bit evolution of football. I think it was revolution when we came in, because you only have to look at my first ever game for Rotherham United, of course, was down at Shrewsbury, and I think we said that there was only 2 players survived from that day. So it tells you how much revolution had to be. But now we really are about evolution, which is fine-tuning the piano. We're very fortunate and we're very blessed that as a management team, myself and Paul Rayner, Paul Warren, Andy Dibble, that Dennis Circuit, our head of medical, that we have the opportunity to work with some of the talented players we've got. You know, we've got, you know, I call him Prince Pringle and the players call him my son. But when you're working with players like that, it really does give you an opportunity. You know, the likes of Fricklington and Milson, a corner and Armisen, and I could Ravels, I could keep going there. They really are a terrific group, and the nice common thing they have is they all want to work hard and they all want to get better, and they all come in every day with a smile on their face and enjoy what they're doing. And those that have not portrayed that, they've paid a price. What's the price? Well, the price they've paid is they leave here, because we don't want people that don't want what the chairman wants, what I want, what the players want, which, more important, all our supporters want, is to give ourselves every chance of winning every game. And you can only do that if you prepare for every game in the best possible fashion. And if players have an attitude problem or a sulky problem or whatever they have, then they can't be part of something special that we've got here.
If they're all doing well, does that make it harder for you in terms of, you know, telling the guys which ones you're leaving out on a Saturday? Is that the toughest thing at the minute?
Well, I think you always ultimately go back to, as a manager, I've always been charged with winning the games, and you have to take emotions out of it and feelings out of it, what people might think. And you know when you pick a team, or you know you're telling certain players that they might not be in the starting 11. I think probably for the first time in a long, long time this weekend, we may have the odd player or two who's actually sitting in the stand and not even on our bench. And that's always hard, but I think those players know the one thing they get at Rotherham United with Steve Evans is that he picks the team very, very honestly. He picks it with no consideration of feelings, and therefore it's about what people do in the training ground Monday to Friday, and most importantly, what they do when match day comes around, because that's ultimately how we're judged.
What about injuries? Carey Arnesen, is he likely to feature on Saturday?
Yeah, of course. Carey's an international defender, and therefore would always be at the front of your thoughts if he's on the training ground. And he's lost a little bit of weight. He's probably lost 7 or 8 pounds with that little virus, but he's been back in training 2 or 3 days now. I did ask him why couldn't he pass me the virus for a couple of weeks, and he had a little chuckle. But he's back on the training ground. He looks a little bit light and a little bit lean out, if that's possible with Carey. But I've watched him closely in training today, and some of his defending and in general defending and passing, and that was a pleasure to see him back.
You happy to start with him, or is it a case of maybe bring him on, you know, as a substitute just in case, like I say, if he's a bit drained from the virus?
Well, we'll have a look at all the data that our medical team look at. We'll look at his rehydration data and his energy levels and his heart data and all that right up until he trains again on Friday. And when we look at that, then we'll determine whether he starts or whether he's involved on the bench. But, you know, if Carey Arnesen is 100%, if he's 100% fit, you know, when we decide we're going to pick a team, then I've always maintained that Carey Arnesen plays.
What about movement with players? First of all, Tavernier and Vukic, I know you're keen to secure them on the long term. Is that been achieved yet?
Well, it's not been achieved because Newcastle United have been away in Dubai. So it's not been able to speak to the powers to be. And obviously one man makes the decisions in respect of the playing staff at Newcastle United. And as far as I understand it, that is only Alan Pardew. So I've had a chat with Steve Stone, he's assistant manager, earlier this morning, and we're going to speak again this evening, stroke tomorrow. But, you know, both players have said very, very clearly that if the opportunity is that they can stay here to the end of the season, they would like to stay to the end of the season. We would love them to stay to the end of the season. So there's one man who'll know the answer when it's put to him, which will be Alan. And I'm sure he'll give it due consideration like he did when we first approached them. But, you know, they're a fantastic football club with some fantastic players. So we're very hopeful that, or probably hopeful rather, very hopeful, we're hopeful that Alan will say yes.
Mm. I mean, it's beneficial for them, isn't it? Obviously, the likes of James, who probably wouldn't start in the Premier League, but has come here and scored goals, which he's not done in the league yet.
Yes, I think the important thing is when they come here that there was two types. There was James who just needed someone to believe him and believe in him and give him an opportunity to go and play. And, you know, and he's done that, and he's become a fan's favourite here for the right reasons. He's a wholehearted player with a lot of ability. And Harris obviously had a few under 21 in reserve games after coming back from a bad injury, and he's still working his way through that, and he's getting there very, very quickly. And had a real, real good chat with the lad today, and he's very focused. He knows what he wants, and you know, certainly between now and June, he sees his future at Rotherham United. And then I had James in who said, "Gaffer, let's get it done, please. Can we do it today?" But we can't do it today when we've not had Alan's permission. So when Alan Pardew gets an opportunity, and that may be Monday, because we have to respect the right that if they're coming back today, they've got plans to be working over the weekend. But when Alan's ready to give us that decision, and we've got to the end of next week, so when he's ready to give us that decision, then we'll get it.
What about any movement with possible targets you've been looking at? Any sort of fresh faces like to be here for the weekend?
Well, we're going to try our best to complete a signing today. We're just waiting on final confirmation from a club in the Championship that we can go ahead. You know, I don't want to ban names about or dismiss names, but you know, we'll see if we can get it done. And if it gets us done, it probably takes us very, very close, probably a player or two away from the squad being ready to go forward out the window. And I did say as a manager that you, when you go into the transfer window in January, you either do nothing or you do something that can only make your squad and your team better. I don't think we've just stood still. I don't think we've made ourselves better with the business we've done out and in. I think we've made ourselves significantly stronger as a squad and a team. And maybe not in every case in isolation have we done that, but certainly as a squad and a team, we're so much stronger when it comes to options.
So it's a Championship player, you give us that much. Would you elaborate on position or anything like that?
No, I've already identified where we'd like to strengthen. You know, there was four or five clubs that were given permission by his club to speak to him. We were told this morning that the player had preferred us rather than them. After we'd spoken to him and his representatives and painted a picture, if you like, and showed him our vision. And let's hope that our chief executive can get that signed, dotted and crossed today and all done. And our chairman is certainly excited by it and approved it yesterday when I was speaking to him quite late in the evening. And once again, we thank our chairman for his magnificent support. He's, you know, there's loads of Sirs in South Yorkshire over recent years, and I suppose it's only a question of time when our chairman gets that little plume before his name.
Right. I mean, one name that was billed about was Richie Smallwood. Is that the player? Or?
Well, you could say that's the player. It wouldn't be professional for me to say that's the player or it's not the player. What I do know about Richie Smallwood is a very, very talented boy.
Yeah, I'll ask a question anyway. A couple more I've got to throw at you. A couple of Crawley players you've been linked with. It was Nicky Adams and Joe Walsh. Anything with those two?
No. Joe Walsh is a player. I've seen it. If they've turned down £400,000, according to the Crawley Town chairman, and you know he's a good player, Joe Walsh, but he's certainly never anyone. He's never been one that's been our reports that we've looked at. We looked at Nicky Adams probably the best part of 6-7 weeks ago, and we were trying to do something then, but for one reason or another, it could happen, and we've had to move on. But you know, both are talented lads. Both will play against us on Saturday, and both, I'm sure, will put in impressive performances. They certainly did when I watched them get a draw at Coventry only a couple of weeks ago.
Let's talk about the Crawley then. I mean, what have you made of him since you know, obviously the change in managerial, new managerial team coming. Has that improved them, do you think?
Yes, I think it has. I think from seeing them before we went down to play them at Crawley other than the season and what they are now, I think they're taking the experience of John Gregory and Guy Whittingham, and they look, certainly from an opposition point of view, they look better organised and better disciplined and know more about what jobs they've got to do. And, you know, we have to, John Gregory has managed at a club like Aston Villa in the Premier League and took them to cup finals. And you know, and I know he went out of the English game for a couple of years, maybe a couple of years ago. But you know, when I heard it that Crawley were set to appoint him, I thought, what a magnificent opportunity that is for to bring in a guy with a lot of knowledge, a guy who manages. It's, many have said, similar to me, where he's about motivating his players and getting them focused and getting them ready. And I've never really, only on one occasion have I sat down with John when I went to take part in a closed door game for Crawley at QPR when he was the first team manager, and I left that training ground after having spent the best part of an hour with him, just thinking what a professional and what a knowledgeable guy he was about this game. So I look forward to having a glass of wine with him after the game on Saturday, and I can only hope for my sake it's a glass of wine when we've got 3 points.
It's strange how the sort of football world rotates around, isn't it? So now you're sort of manager of a team above him in the league, and he's at your old club.
Yeah, and if somebody had said that to me back in the day when I met him at the training ground at Queen's Park Rangers, I would have shook my head and looked for the straitjacket for the fella. He is a good guy. I've had one brief conversation with him, but how hard does he work? You know, I looked across my shoulder at Shrewsbury last Saturday, and there I sat with John Gregory, who's probably sat in the car. I've done it many times myself. I continued to do it. The best part of 4 hours in the car coming to watch us. And maybe that wouldn't have happened in the previous people who had their roles there, but certainly with John, he gets in the car and he works hard, and I really look forward to catching up with him on Saturday. I felt it was an education the first time I met him, and it's always good to pluck the ideas and the brains of people who's operated at the level that John has.
What about for you? Is it a bit more special, the fact it is Crawley, or do you treat it like any other game?
No, I think the first one was always going to be the special one when I went back to the Broadfield. I'm still personal friends with the old Alf Crawley. He's a terrific guy, a real good man, in the Carter family and Silpa Winfield. They are the board there. Dave Pottinger, the chairman. You know, they are just the personal friends. They'll be personal friends for wherever Steve Evans is in football or out of football. And it'd be nice to catch up with some of them. A lot of the players will be the players that we had working for us, and they're nothing short of, they are very good players and they're talented boys, and they'll be up for it on Saturday. But I think it'll be tougher to win this time around. They know a lot more about us. John's done probably more homework than they did last time, so they'll afford us more respect, and what comes with that is a more difficult game.
And I guess more experience as well than Shrewsbury last weekend.
Yeah, very much. We looked at Shrewsbury last week, and we always felt that if it just came down to sheer grit, we would win the game, because we had a lot of talented lads in our team versus what they had. That's not knocking them, because I still think they'll be okay. And it's sad to see Graham lose his job. He's 35 years in the game. My mind boggles as to who they think they're going to put in place of him that will be better. But I think it'll be a more difficult game. Why? Because I think Crawley have better players. I think when you look at the likes of Joe Welch and you look at the likes of Cal McFadgen and you look at the likes of Andy Drury, who we had, and Josh Simpson and Sergio Torres and Matt Tubbs and Nicky Adams and Matt Sadler, I could name the team, Jonesy and Gull. This is a genuine sort of I see a top 10 team in League One. I think with their games in hand, if they look after them, that's where they'll be.